There is a sacrifice that everyone can make, but too many people miss it. Today, we're exploring the sacrifice of gratitude and how it stops us from chasing things and instead gives us the ability to reflect, come to a new realization, and rely on God. Hey, I'm Hannah, and welcome to Crossroads. Today, we're exploring what is perhaps one of the angriest psalms ever written. Maybe, probably. Man, the writer had all of the feels. And there's a song that gives me all the feels no matter what I listen to it. And it's a song from the 90s all about chasing. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Just stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. I know that you're gonna have it your way or nothing at all. But I think you're moving too fast.
Where are we? In the
Bible!
Let's begin at the beginning, shall we? The Bible begins in the Old Testament, written around 3,500 years ago. The first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, are known as the Pentateuch, or Books of the Law. The next 12 books, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, woo, that's a lot. These are known as the historical books. This brings us to the books of the Bible known as the wisdom literature. It starts with Job, and then into a collection of 150 lyrical poems known as the Psalms.
Believe in yourself, the rest is up to you. Oh, sorry, y'all. Anyway, there's a reason that universally everyone understands don't go chasing waterfalls. It turns out that they might not be what they seem. And today, as we explore Psalm 50 together, we're gonna see that it's not all it's cracked up to be either. All this talk about waterfalls has me remembering the time that I got to stand on one of the natural wonders of the world, Victoria Falls. This waterfall isn't a hidden gem, it's mainstream. See what I did there? Come on, you can laugh, it was funny. See, around here we talk about guiding people spiritually. We talk about leading them on their spiritual adventure, and I will tell you, this was an adventure that was unmatched. I fell in love with this waterfall pretty rapidly, and as you can see, I was just gushing with joy. Okay, I'm done with the waterfall humor. But hey, sometimes you just gotta go with the flow. Okay, now I'm done with the waterfall humor. Today we're talking about Psalms 50, and among all the other psalms that we've talked about to date that have a very heavy emotion and almost lyrically lament and praise God, sometimes in the same psalms even, this psalm really helps us see why this series is called All the Feels. Because the writer is angry, like the little red character from Inside Out. Oh, and by the way, if a moment ago when I said all the series of psalms, if you got kind of freaked out, there are more episodes of Psalms, actually, and we'd love for you to see them. You can go to crossroads.net to find out more. But today we're talking about Psalm 150, and the writer is just straight up mad, and he is angrily talking about a subject that most of us avoid like the plague. Sacrifice. No, seriously, it's a sucky idea to sacrifice anything. And just like the writer, many of us probably identify with what he's doing, which is being angry. And I know I do. I don't want to speak for you, but they say it's a secondary emotion, but I will tell y'all, I'll be honest, it's my first response. Like, anytime I see anything I don't like or somebody does something, I just respond in anger. It is not secondary for me. But there's a difference between my kind of anger and the anger that's in this psalm. See, the writer, his name is Asaph, and Asaph was a chosen worship leader for the people of Israel. See, his anger in this moment, it's righteous.
Whoa.
What? What does that mean? Well, Asaph was a chosen worship leader, like I said, appointed by King David of ancient Israel. And what's so cool about him is not only was he a leader, but he was actually, by his bloodline, considered to be a priest. Now, all that means is that King David saw him, saw that he would have some potential, and it means that him and God, they were tight. They were like this. And so when he's writing this psalm, you can see that he's addressing the people of Israel, but quickly it goes from third person to first person because he starts to write down what God is saying to him and he starts to say stuff to the children of Israel. Now, I've been doing all the talking. I'm sure you're really rushing and wanting to know what that scripture said. So I'll hush and read some scripture. The writer says, from the rising of the sun to where it sets, God, the Lord God speaks, calling out to the earth from Zion, perfect in beauty. God shines brightly. Our God is coming. He won't keep quiet. A devouring fire is before him. A storm rages all around him. God calls out to the skies and to the earth in order to judge his people. Bring my faithful to me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The skies proclaim his righteousness because God himself is the judge. Insert dramatic music. I mean, for real, it feels like the big monster is just coming to get us and eat us alive because we failed. Now, there's a lot to unpack in the beginning of this scripture, and even more so as we'll see a little bit later on. But what we can clearly see is that Asaph is just setting the stage. He's letting us know that God, even though it sounds a little bit scary, he's not coming as the big bad wolf. He's coming as the Almighty God, the one who judged, not for fun, but because his judgment is righteous. His judgment is perfect, and he does it in a way that's full of mercy and full of second, third, and fourth chances. And that's good news for us. The scripture goes on and says, listen, my people, I will now speak. Israel, I will now testify against you. I am God, your God. I'm not punishing you for your sacrifices or your entirely burned offerings, which are always before me. I won't accept bulls from your house or goats from your quarrels, because every forest animal, it already belongs to me. As do the cattle on a thousand hill. Now there it is, the word that we've been waiting for, the one that's reserved for special people, the ones that are disciplined, sacrifice. It's a word that, if we're honest, makes most of us shudder because it's actually not easy to do. If it was easy, everyone would do it. If we're honest, I'm not gonna speak for y'all, I'm gonna speak for me. I don't like sacrificing all the time because it's hard. I don't like the idea of giving up something in the short term just to have long-term gain. And don't even get me started on sacrificing for other people, because I really don't want to do that because it's actually an inconvenience to myself. Now, maybe I'm not alone. Maybe you're out there and you're like, yeah, Hannah, I'm like you. I'm like you. I want to have cake now. I don't want to be on a diet. I don't want to have a healthy heart later on. I want to do it right now. Now, listen, truthfully, we're on the same page now, because even sometimes I don't struggle with just worldly sacrifice. I struggle with spiritual sacrifice. God calls us to give 10% of our income, which is our tithe. And I don't always want to do that, because even though it's good for me, I just hate the idea of giving away my money sometimes. It just sucks. Sacrifice feels out of reach, and it really makes me shift in my seat. And I don't always like that. It doesn't feel good. What? Hannah, I thought you said Jesus wants us to feel great. Okay, I didn't say that, but why would he call us to something that hurts? Well, it's because sacrifice is a sign of surrender. See, in ancient Israel, when Asaph wrote this song, it was customary for religious leaders and religious people to often give sacrifices, and not just in the Hebrew culture either. Other religions were doing this. They would give sacrifices for the atonement of sin, for thanksgiving, even in request and for supplication. And in verse 8, God has to clearly say that I'm not displeased with your burnt offerings and sacrifices just because he doesn't want them. He's saying them because those things are common. And the heart behind why they're doing it, it's off. See, sacrifices were common because they brought results. So if they brought results, why is God so freaking angry? Well, I'll tell you. Let's get to the point. Hannah, you talked enough. He's angry because the heart behind the sacrifice, it's unacceptable. It's what I call a little waterfall-ish. It just means that what it seems to be on the surface, like a waterfall, beautiful, glorious, all worthy, it's actually not always cracked up to be. See, before you get too confused, let me explain. Waterfalls are made by soft rock under hard rock, which just means that underneath all that water is actually a really not a full rock. is actually not what it seems to be. And that's what the children of Israel were doing. They were giving their sacrifices. They were doing the thing, being traditional, being faithful, doing all the things that their preacher or priest told them to do. But underneath it, it was empty. Their hearts were empty. And I can relate to the children of Israel in that moment. I can relate. Because I know that sometimes I give my tithe just because I'm supposed to do it. Sometimes I go to church or watch online because I'm supposed to do it. Sometimes I volunteer in student ministry because I feel like I'm supposed to do it. But God's asking the children of Israel something very important in this psalm. He's saying, are you going to give me waterfall sacrifices? Are you going to give me what I actually want, which is real sacrifice? So God goes into another spiel in this psalm about how he owns everything. And I always thought growing up that that just meant, oh, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He must be rich. And well, I think if you think about it in natural terms, we would define that as being rich. But excuse my grammar. That just ain't what he meant when he was talking about that. What he meant was, when I ask you for something, when I ask you to sacrifice your money or your time, it's not because I need it. It's not because I don't have enough volunteers. It's not because I don't have enough money and the lights are about to go off in heaven. I'm actually asking you to sacrifice because it invites surrender into your life and it's for you. What? That sounds challenging. Hannah, you're challenging me right now. I'm glad. If you're sitting at the seat of challenge, you're actually right where you probably need to be. I'm a touch uncomfortable if I'm being honest because sacrifice makes me shift in my seat because God's asking us all the question, is your heart in it? So the sacrifice isn't the problem. He loves giving us his time. He wants us to give our money, all the things. But he wants to know, is it a waterfall sacrifice? Is it just cute on the outside? Or is it in your heart? So what kind of sacrifice is God looking for then? Hannah, tell me the answer, since it's not the ones I'm giving, the ones that seem empty. What should I be doing? Now, all the churchy people think they know the answer. They think it's Jesus. That's the perfect sacrifice. You wrong. But I'm gonna tell you the real answer. So stay with me, I promise.
Hey guys, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Andy.
Hope you're enjoying this message. If you are, we'd love you to engage with us in even more ways.
That's right, around here at Crossroads, we believe that the act of giving is a spiritual discipline, meaning that it's not something God wants from us, but for us.
If giving is something you wanna do or maybe you wanna try out, you can go to crossroads.net/give. Let's get back to the message.
So it turns out God wants a sacrifice, and not just any sacrifice, but a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hey, growing up, I always thought that I needed some very grand and elaborate testimony that was gonna make me more interesting, not just to people, but shockingly to God. I thought that I really didn't have a story to tell because for the most part, I feel a little textbook. And what I call like a pew baby, which just means that I was raised in church, I was always at church, and somewhere along the line, maybe about 13, thankfully, church actually got in me. And so I started to follow Jesus, I started to walk with him, learn his ways, and I really even used to study the Bible on my lunch breaks in high school, not because I was trying to be this like holier than thou person, but truly the food was disgusting, I needed something to do. No, I'm just kidding, but seriously, I did have some hard days, but I don't ever feel like I had this grand story of rescue, you know? Like, it wasn't like my dad, who literally had a spiritual encounter with God that was like Paul in the Bible. Not me, I was pretty boring and lame even. I never even had like a backsliding moment in college where I just turned my back on God and decided he wasn't for me. Nope. Crazy enough though, this all pretty much bummed me out. So I started to shy away and not really tell anybody about what God was doing in my life because I thought that it was too small. I thought that it did not measure up to all the things he's miraculously done for other people and how they have awesome testimonies of rescue. And so when I would be in church and worship God through music or even through giving or even through volunteering, I really was only doing it because I thought it's what you were supposed to do. See, I had a lot of waterfall sacrifices because I thought that if I just keep doing the thing that looks good on the outside, God's just gonna be pleased with that. It's gonna be fine. But you know, they looked good on the outside, but they were really horrible on the inside. They were empty because I missed what God was trying to say, what he actually wants. Of all the sacrifices that I could give, he says in verse 14, offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. and fulfill the promises that you made to the Most High. Now, wait a second. I thought we were supposed to serve in Kids Club. You mean to tell me that my tithe is not an acceptable sacrifice? What are you talking about, Hannah? God, what are you saying? Why are you so angry in this psalm? See, what I missed in my story and what I'm sort of missing now is if I don't have thankfulness, not just for the things that He hasn't done, but for the things that He is doing, if my sacrifices aren't flowing out of that gratitude, then they're empty. See, the only way to cure those waterfall sacrifices, the ones that just look good on the outside, is to really be thankful and offer those as a sacrifice of gratitude, doing those things out of thankfulness to God. That is what I was missing. See, thankfulness does something for us. It forces us to do three things: to reflect, to realize, and to rely. For most of my life, I never shared my story of God's redemption because I just thought it was too small, too textbook. See, but really once I started to get thankful, once I take a second and actually say, man, God, I'm gonna be grateful for just a moment, my story starts to shape up, starts to look a little bit different, and I can squint my eyes and I can see and realize that actually God has been up to some pretty amazing things. See, what He's done for me physically, for example, I'll just count all the times I was probably supposed to die. Not even gonna talk about birth. I'll talk about the time that I got hit by an SUV head on, smacked, and I walked away with nothing but a broken toe. I'll tell you about the time that I fell asleep with a gas valve on and the air was full of gas and I did not die, you guys. I'm not joking, it's not a joke. I think about the time I was held at gunpoint. And I would think about the time I was just recently in two car accidents that probably should have killed me. See, it's this reflection when I get thankful, when I say, thank you, God, for doing those things for me, that it makes me realize. It realizes in that moment. See, that realization, what it brings me to is the next R, reliance. It makes me realize that actually, no matter what I do, I can't do anything for myself. It makes me realize that God has more for me. See, I just told you about the physical times I possibly could have died. I didn't tell you about the times that God has actually protected me from spiritual and emotional death, because there have been times, y'all, and still times where I just believe I'm worthless, where I just believe I am worth nothing, that this life right here is actually not worth living. And God has saved me from that. There's been times when my pride and my anger probably should have destroyed my relationships that I'm closest to. But God didn't allow that. And let me tell you how I got to that conclusion. It's when I realized what He was doing. It's when I stopped focusing on all the things that my story didn't have. When I stopped focusing on all the grandiose that I was looking for in my testimony and started to realize, wait a second, God actually has done some amazing things. See, but here's the promise. Thankfulness doesn't just get us to a place where we're like, oh God, you're so good. Oh my gosh. Thankfulness has something for us. It actually is a sacrifice, y'all, because some days we have to push and we have to press to be thankful. Because if you're anything like me, there are moments when you just get so much bad news in one week. You're like, God, how can I possibly be thankful for this? It's so easy to chase after the things that I don't have, to go after waterfalls like the song says. It's so much easier. But God invites us into gratitude because it makes us rely on Him. I'm not crazy. I know that life actually just sucks sometimes. See, I know from experience that there are weeks where you lose your only grandparent, your cousin, your friends lose two babies. You feel like you're getting eaten alive by inflation because three of your siblings just lost their job. You got two siblings with high-risk pregnancy. Oh, and by the way, your mom is in and out of the hospital. See, it's in those weeks where it gets really, really hard to say thank you, Jesus, because there's too much going on. And if you have that question, if you say, Hannah, how can I be grateful? I'm right there with you. I'm standing right there with you because it's a valid question. Why does it actually hurt to be thankful? And that's why God says it's an acceptable sacrifice, because that gratitude makes us reflect on what He's done. It makes us stop chasing for all the things He hasn't, all the things that we wish we had. It makes us stop trying to be like the Joneses and keep up with the Joneses. Gratitude makes us thankful. It makes us thankful for the place where He's going to take us, the place that we are. And it makes us rely on Him to take us there, not our own selves. See, we serve a big God who loves us so much, so unconditionally, that He just sent His Son, Jesus, not just to be down here and walk among us, but He sent Him so that we could have life and life to the full. And that means life that's full of ups and downs, life that's full of crazy weeks, and yes, life that's full of good and wonderful things. See, and maybe I just gave you one reason right there to be grateful. Because Jesus is a good reason to be grateful, because when we get that life, we have something that the rest of the world only wishes they had. We have hope. So whether you have been following Jesus, awesome, or this is your first time here today, and this is the first time you're hearing Jesus spoken to you in a language that you understand, welcome, and I'm so glad you're here. And I'm glad you're here because we all have a chance at hope. And the way that we get there is through realizing that what Jesus did for us allows us to be grateful, allows us to be thankful. And when we are, when we say, you know what, I'm gonna have a sacrifice of thanksgiving, it pushes us to a new place. And not only does it push us to a new place, but we honor God. See, at the very end of that long rant of Psalm 150 and God describing all the ways that waterfall sacrifices are empty and how they make us empty, in the last verse, he says this: the one who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that's the one who honors me. See, our sacrifices need to flow from a heart of thanksgiving. They can't just come out of formality, or they can't even not happen at all. Maybe you've never been thankful. God is saying that he wants us to forget about sacrifices in the form of worship and tithing and volunteering if they don't actually flow out of a heart of gratitude. He's saying, forget about it. See, we aren't giving anything to God because he needs it. I was reading an article about the making of Waterfalls by TLC, and the ladies, they say that the song, it sounds like an encouragement to run from your dreams, just stay to what you're used to. But what it really is, they're saying, be careful. The song is a warning against self-destructive behavior and chasing. See, our tendency is to just do whatever it takes to look normal, to feel normal. But when we sacrifice in thanksgiving, when we do things out of a heart of gratitude, that's the best way not to self-destruct, because it keeps us from chasing things that God never had for us. It makes us realize that we actually have a story so powerful that somebody needs to hear and we need to tell it. And it makes us rely on God. So now is a time that we're gonna get to hear some music and actually worship, which is just prayers set to music. And thankfully, this song that we're about to hear, you probably won't know it because it's the exact song that we've been studying. But during this time, now is the time for action. Maybe I've said something that stuck with you. Maybe you have more questions. Whatever it is, it's actually, here's the main point, y'all. We have to be grateful. So some of us need to write a list, like me. I write a list of what I'm thankful for. Some of us need to stop complaining long enough so that we can realize what God has done and reflect on his goodness. Some of us just need to take a pause and take a moment and realize what God's done in our life. Hey, if that's you, now this song is the perfect time to do that. It's the perfect time to soak up the words and let the words soak in and to decide what it is that you're gonna do to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Offerings that I could bring, all you want is thanksgiving. All you want is thanksgiving. Of all the ways that I could sacrifice, all you want is glorified. All you want is glorified. Oh, what good is my praise if my heart ain't right? What good is my praise if my mouth shut tight? Of all the offerings that I could bring, all you want is thanksgiving. All you want is thanksgiving. Of all the ways that I could sacrifice, all you want is glorified. All you want is glorified. My heart ain't right. What good is my praise if my mouth shut tight? What good is my praise if my heart ain't right? What good is my praise if my mouth shut tight? praise if my heart ain't right? What good is my praise if my mouth shut tight?
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the message today and you were able to get something out of going deeper in the book of Psalms.
It doesn't have to stop here, by the way, because this series is connected with the thing we've been doing all year long called the Bible Challenge.
Yeah, we as a community are in the Crossroads app all through the week, reading and diving deeper into scripture. I'm in there, Kyle's in there, Brian is in there, you're in there.
And we're in there because it's making our lives better and it's helping us connect to God. And if you want to dive in, all you have to do is download the app and you're all set.
Hey, that's all we've got today. We'll see you next time on Crossroads.
I'm living my best life. Wake up with the sunrise. Does not look a thing.
How many people do you know would say that they're living their best life, really? And what about you? I'm going to show you how to live your best life through an ancient way of living that you can rediscover today.